was lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to episode 58 of the Two Johnnies Podcast, coming to you in both sound and vision from Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary. Proper order, lad. We're back in Tip.
Proper order.
We ask on this week's podcast if it is acceptable to haggle and discuss how to do it with confidence.
We called into his natural habitat, which is the Shamrock Lounge, during the week because we were filming. But Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
She promises she has a mad story for a mystery topic. Maureen is in the house.
We attempt to solve another listener's problem in our segment, Dear Johnnies.
And we round off the podcast, as is tradition, with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Now, you may remember we got a lot of correspondence in. We did a topic on relationship milestones, when to introduce a one to your parents, all that kind of stuff. Now, Lolly, she was from Mayo, and she got introduced to her City Slickers boyfriend's parents.
You remember by.
The one about the Ouija board? That was insane. Yeah. Anyway, well, lads and Maureen, not sure how to start this. I'll just get to the point. Your email on last week's podcast, the one with the Ouija board, the Kulshi and the dub. Well, I'm the dub you were talking about. I had your podcast on while speeding along the M25 in my van on blues and twos. He says he's a cop from outside London. All right. I almost crashed the van into the central reservation, breaking me bollocks laughing when I realised that it was me you were talking about. Anyway, all that Lolly said was true, but there are a lot of other stories she could have told she didn't. I'll have to keep them for another time. I had to listen to you guys every week, and I've gotten all the other Irish boys over here listening into it. That's from Christian over in London. Now, Christian is from Dublin and Lolly's from Mayo, and the first time she went to meet his parents, they cracked out a Ouija board after a few drinks. Yeah. And she was freaked the fuck out.
I'm not surprised. Fair play to Christian all the boys over there in London. Nicky Murphy was also in touch following a lad having a GA match on full blast in the college library on his laptop. Nicky said, whatever about your man with the drawn match coming on in the library? In first year of uni, me and my friends were pure innocent, mad into the Saw Doctors, and at the end of every night out, we would have a house party that would end up in us dancing around the flat, jumping over sofas, going mad to the Saw Doctors. Long story short, my laptop died mid-Saw Doctors one night. I forgot about it till I plugged the laptop in the DCU library in the quiet study zone, and feckin' I Used to Love Her came on. Started blaring out. Couldn't shut it up for a solid 2 or 3 minutes while the laptop booted up. And to make it worse, this day I was wearing my bloody Offaly jersey. The utter shame of the complete Kulshi. The only shame there is wearing an Offaly jersey.
You can be proud of that shit. I used to love her. She'd be the national anthem. Rory on Insta said, well, men, I've been binge listening to your podcast over the last 3 weeks after a friend recommended it to me. Yeah, what were you at, Rory? Come on. Was just listening to the podcast about living with your parents or moving out. A couple of years ago, my brother threw a 21st at our house and he'd all the lads come from college and everywhere to it. Fucking mad session, cans and bottles in feeding troughs kind of job. Anyway, the party went well on into the night, and at about 6, when my mam comes down to the kitchen to ask where the brother was so she could turn off the music because it was fairly loud. Myself and my brother's friend were there as well. We were well aware that he had just gone up to the room with a young one. We jumped on the opportunity telling her, he's literally just gone to bed, man. Needless to say, all we heard was a couple of screams and slamming doors. Apparently, my mother walked in on him on the badger stroke. Best party I was ever at. And tell Maura, if she likes cows, land and road frontage and sun, come down to Wexford. Mop leeching. Let it in, son.
And let it in, son. That's crazy. The badger stroke is a new one, boy. That's a new one on those here in Two Johnnies.
In a swimming pool, was it? Is that
yeah? Some sort of a swimming exercise.
Eat a badger in a paddling pool in his room.
Fucking weird stuff, by down in Wexford. On the topic of CEO choices, Niall, and people have been on to me saying, are you saying CEO? And I'm not. It's just the way I say it. CEO. CEO.
CEO, boy.
So Niall on Snapchat was in touch about that, and he said, well, lad, just listening to the podcast about the CEO, and I was one of the fools who put down forensic analysis down because I watched a lot of CSI. Turns out I got into Sligo, and when I read up on it, I hadn't a clue about it. Ended up repeating the leaving and getting sports coaching, and was told by the then principal that I would have got the sports course if I put it down the first time. So I basically wasted a year of my life for CSI.
Fucking hell. Is that the lad who used to like take off his sunglasses and then...
I always get my man.
The who would kick in.
Yeah, yeah.
down. Won't be fooled again. You will. You got fooled for a whole year. Pi was on Snapchat saying, lad, just on your mate eating chips with the garlic sauce from the ground. Oh, I don't remember that. Were we talking?
I was telling that one. That was.
Yeah, do you remember us talking Eddie, about eating lasagna off the floor?
Oh, God damn. Oh, here. One night we were in a nightclub in Dublin that also served food. A mate of mine found a half-eaten 3-in-1 and proceeded to tuck in. Next of all, he sourced a half-eaten garlic dip, poured said garlic dip over the half-eaten 3-in-1 and devoured the feckin' thing. What makes it worse is later that night, he then went on to shift a young one, who 8 years later is now still his girlfriend. Fairly confident she never heard that story or would not have shifted him, the scruffy bastard. He found a 3-in-1 on the ground and a half-used garlic dip.
I'm not defending this lad, but garlic and curry mixed isn't that bad.
Really?
Try it. Yeah, it's actually not that bad.
It sounds horrendous, but...
So we run the chippers in Roscrea.
Yeah.
And the odd person would ask for it. Like, it's not that uncommon.
What? A curry chip and then throwing a bit of garlic?
Yeah.
A curry garlic chip?
Yeah.
Have you had a curry cheese chip?
Yeah. That's a fucking staple diet down here, Marty. Yeah, curry cheese chips are fucking magic.
Yeah.
But yeah, the garlic.
Curry garlic chip.
Hey, don't knock it, lad, till you try it. People out there, try it.
Do you add the cheese in as well?
Well, you can, yeah, if you want to be flamboyant. You really want to go out.
What about taco?
What, altogether?
That's
just sick. What is wrong with you? Get away from me, you horrible man.
What about taco and garlic?
No,
Taco sauce, lad.
That's Mexican food with Indian food. Wouldn't work.
Garlic, the Indians can't have garlic.
You're not giving them that, no?
Yeah, they have curry. They can't have garlic as well.
Hey, they can't have it all. Right, who's going to get the Nose News mug this week? Kindly sponsored by hairybaby.com, where you can buy loads of Two Johnny's merch.
That's right. I like the lad who absolutely murdered his brother with the badger stroke story. I know he's a bad man for doing it, but it's a good story. Who do you fancy, lads?
I'd second that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. The badger stroke is a good one.
Congrats to Rory in the badger stroke. Although, I wonder, will he give it to the brother?
But the brother deserves the mug.
Yeah. Rory, this is going to you, but give it to your brother.
Yeah. So the weekly roundup, what's been going on in Two Johnny's land this week?
Oh!
A lot since we were last live with a podcast, I guess.
Yeah, the last one was live in Trinity. Thanks very much to the boys for having us. Great crack. And Owen Colgan came on. Very positive feedback on Buzz. What a week we've had, god damn it.
So yeah, since we were last on, we've sold out Vicar Street in Dublin, we sold out the Black Box Theatre in Galway, the South Court Hotel in Limerick, and a big thank you to everyone who came to the shows. We hope you enjoyed it, and honestly, it does mean the world to us when people come to shows.
Lad, Vicar Street now, that's life-changing stuff.
Yeah, we haven't got a chance to sit down and really think about it yet, because we've been so busy.
Vicar Street is probably I'd nearly say it's the biggest comedy venue in Ireland.
Yeah,
it would be. Yeah, like some would do the Three Arena, but like,
yeah, come on,
we're not fucking Kevin Hart. Like,
you're going to learn today.
You're going to learn today, girl.
Next year, that's next year.
Yeah, next year.
Vicar Street is a bit. What is it? It's about.
It's 1,100.
1,100. Yeah, packed to the rafters. People standing at the back. Just the energy in the room was mental. Yeah. Like people were saying to it, the managers and people working there and all were like, "We thought this was going to get out of hand."
Yeah,
the
last for song, a comedy show, it was wild.
Like,
yeah,
everyone was up out of chairs singing. Like it was.
Yeah, no, we were delighted. We got a standing ovation. Some crack, like. It's like, thanks to whoever started that standing ovation. Not as always going to be one person who stands up.
There was a lad in like a red super dry t-shirt who was flaming. And as soon as we hit the first chord, he was like, yeah, he was up out of the chair. And I was like, go on, you boy. Yeah. Everyone got up then.
Everyone got up, boy. Fair play to him.
It's a savage venue and I just couldn't believe the reception we got. Like, yeah, so.
It won't be the last time we'll be there, hopefully. And then on St. Patrick's Day, of course, we made our way to Croke Park for the AIB All-Ireland Club Hurling Football Finals.
And we got to go on the big screen.
We did, buy, yeah, it was some crack, wasn't it?
We were interviewing people on the side of the field, up on the big screen.
Yeah.
I thought I was Marty Morris.
We walked down through the crowd with the mic and the camera was following us, like, and we had to hit our cues and we're getting hard counts, all this professional shit.
We were walking out like Michael Condon or something, like, walking down through the crowd.
Felt unreal. It was good laugh, good experience as well.
And we got to interview your favourite man, Matthew Hanlon, on the sideline.
I insisted he was there. He's coming on the podcast.
Yeah, you know, people were like, are you going to ask him about the match? We're like, no, Matthew, tell us about your jacket you're wearing today. So you went for the scarf, tell us.
We're going to get him on the podcast, but I won't be able to appear on screen at the same time because I'll just be red in the corner.
It was great. And then we interviewed Big Paddy O'Rourke and Stephen Rochford.
Yeah.
Is he Donegal manager?
Yeah,
And former mayor manager.
Yep.
Sure. He was interesting. No, we were asking him like about, would you flog players or give them a bit of leeway for a night out? You know what I mean?
And yeah. He was slapping all the Curragh Finn players on the back and calling them by their name because he obviously used to manage Curragh Finn.
Mm.
And I reckon that's why they won. There you go.
Yeah, he also got in the way of my Snapchat. I was like, I'll stand in the tunnel and they'll be coming right past me. And then Stephen just like shouldered me out of the way. Well done, lads. Go on, boys. So,
yeah.
Sound as for that, Stephen. That's great. It cost me a bit of content there. But yeah, that's good. That was okay, like, you know.
Congrats to Curragh Finn and Ballyhale on their wins. We need a rest after all that, but we didn't get one because we had to go and record a music video.
No, we ended up going to where Smacks used to actually work.
Yep.
I put work in inverted commas there. Well, I used to work. I used to DOS there as well.
Yeah.
When I was in school.
You did a Saturday job.
Yeah, I'd all evenings and Saturdays as well.
Hmm.
Some crack hanging out in the storeroom.
Just DOS.
Trolley watch. Banana slinging was another great one.
Banana slinging?
Yeah. I never told the boss, like, but he'd be like, oh, so, you know, one or two of the bananas didn't sell there. You know, you have to dispose of them.
You know the boss is our hurling manager now, so I'd be watching what you're going to say there.
Yourself and Richie is catch the bananas and fire them into the trees.
Sorry.
There was like a pole down the end, and we'd be like, right, try hit the pole with the bananas. Banana slinging.
Sorry to anyone who bought bananas from that shop.
No, it was ones that, like, there'd be one or two that wouldn't sell.
Well, the bad ones.
Yeah.
Bad ones, yeah.
Bad bananas, like, get them out.
But yeah, I put back on the butcher suit, lad. Brought me back. Still, I can still wear it.
I swear, as soon as Max put on the butcher suit, lad, you just went into your old pose, and that spot where you used to always be leaning, there's a little wall at the end of it. You used to be leaning with your head out the door, talking to the other staff or customers.
Yeah.
And as soon as you put on the costume, he went straight back into his old pose.
Just can't help it then. By the time you've listened to this, we'll also have performed in the IENEC in Killarney, which is also fucking sold out. Some crack. I thought they'd hate us in Kerry.
Why?
I don't know. Didn't think they'd buy the tickets, lads. I was proved wrong. Fair play to Kerry, lads.
I love Kerry.
Great people all together. Yeah, you're down there a good bit, I suppose.
Fine town.
Do your gallivanting down there.
But there is tickets left for Athlone, Wexford and
Leitrim.
Carrick and Shannon.
Yeah.
Come on, Leitrim.
Yo, one Leitrim, bye.
Leave it in Leitrim.
We're also in the process of sending out medals to those people who won the two Johnnies Awards. So thanks to MMI in Dublin for those medals. They're great men. They make all the medals for Swim Ireland, all these boys, and check them out at mmi.ie. They gave us the medal, so fair play to them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. Right, topic number one. During the week, one of our mates returned from a trip to Turkey where he had to put his haggling tips to use. As well as this, putting his hands in his pocket to tip, it created a big debate here in Two Johnny's HQ, so we've decided to ask, is it acceptable to haggle nowadays? Johnny?
Yeah, of course it is.
It's not acceptable in modern day. There's a time and place, I would say.
Yeah, but hold on, this is an Irish thing. People abroad haggle all the time. If this lad is out in Turkey and you go to buy something and they're like, oh, that's 20 quid, and you're like, yeah, no bother. They'd be like, oh, come on, haggle. They love a bit of haggling.
I don't think they encourage you to haggle.
Oh, they would love a bit of haggling, lad.
No, the boys selling the watches on the street and stuff,
they love a bit of haggling. Ah, yeah.
But they're fair bad at it. They come up to you like, how much for the Gucci watch, like? And they're like, oh, 40 euro, my friend, 40 euro. And then you buy it for 2 euros 50.
Yeah.
That's bad haggling. That's they're not good at it.
That once happened to me in Ireland right now. Back in the day when I was an apprentice. We were sitting in the van outside the house, and this lad came around selling watches and stuff. And I was like, lad, I'm an apprentice, like, eating sandwiches out of a newspaper here.
Of a newspaper?
Or whatever, you know what I mean? I was like, do you think I have money? And he's like, ah, go on, you must have something. And I was like, should I have a fiver there? And he's like, yeah, go on, that'll do.
What did you buy?
Bought a watch for a fiver.
Jeez, that must have been a fair scandalous watch.
It was grand.
Did you still have it?
No.
You probably do, lad.
I gave it as a gift.
Oh, my God. Oh. Surprised you actually gave a gift.
No. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
So it's acceptable to haggle abroad?
Yeah, like, them boys on the street love a bit of haggling. I was in Thailand in a market, and it's all about the haggle. They love a bit of haggle. I bought an Ajax jersey for a euro.
I'm guessing that wasn't the highest quality Ajax jersey available on the market.
I wore a training for about 3 years. Like,
oh my God, you're finding out now.
See, then
more
then,
about this man.
Then I wanted the Brazil jersey. Fuck it, I'd give him 2 euro for that.
Gosh, oh no, right.
In Ireland. People don't haggle because they just want to avoid confrontation.
I do agree. The Irish attitude of, like, less confrontations.
Oh, yeah. You're in a restaurant and you order something and the waiter's like, oh, is everything okay? And it tastes like absolute cow shit. And you're like, oh, that's fine. thanks very much, don't mind me. Yeah.
There's definitely been times like where I've been overcharged and I haven't said it. Like I've just taken it.
Like when?
Oh, really?
Like I reckon one day in a restaurant, like I ordered a drink, like, and I never got it. And they charged me for it, and I never said, like,
what?
Hey, you didn't give me the drink.
Why not? What?
Just, I'm fucking awkward anyway. And the worst thing is now everyone fucking knows what we look like. So, like, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that fucking fucker from the two Johnnies, boy. He's an arky fucker. Start complaining because we didn't give him his fucking Coke Zero. Like. I'm telling you, that's what keeps entering my mind all the time.
Like, you want everyone to think, oh, he was in, he was lovely.
He was grand. He was sound that lad, yeah.
So you're just going to let restaurant staff walk all over you now?
No, I'm not now. Now they're going to try it.
Yeah.
I've alerted
them. The jig is up.
But I think that is the Irish attitude of no confrontations. Like. But haggling still does happen. I think it's an older kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're stern there, Mar. I'd say you'd fucking haggle now.
She's Mar haggle.
Yeah.
You'd haggle.
I'd be fairly tight with money now. But like, I love spending money. But
yourself and Johnny, babe, fucking
yeah.
Two peas in a pod.
Hey, how close to the Cavan border are you?
Like when I bought my second car, I went to buy it off a lady in Monaghan, and whatever, went up to see her. So it was a lovely blue Toyota Corolla. I really, really wanted it, and like, this is about 2009. And she said she was looking six for it. Now it was definitely worth six. And I was like, looking at her, I was like, probably going to give her 5.5. And then she goes, silly woman, goes, well, you know, I have to get it sold now because I'm moving to Canada in 2 weeks. And I was like, well, listen, I'm going to offer you 5. So look, if you get a better deal, you know, no worries. But sure, listen, if you don't, give me a call. Of course, she didn't get a better offer. And I got my car for €500 less than what I was willing to pay for it. So,
wow. No.
Yeah.
Well, you bent her over.
Yeah.
Fucking poor old woman, by huh?
Yeah. Stuck for a few bob going to Canada.
I think it's accepted.
I don't care.
She doesn't. She's fucking bad in the bone.
You don't want her to thumb a lift to Canada now.
I think that is probably one of the only scenarios where it is acceptable to haggle is when you're buying a car.
Yeah. But,
like, say we recently bought cars.
Yeah.
And, like, I just went into your man.
See, you just look at the shiny car and go like, how much?
I want.
Mammy. No, I just went in and like said to your man, like, I'm not going to say how much I paid for it now on air, but like I said, what's the price? And he told me the price. And I said, what's the best you can do? And he said, blah, blah, blah. And I said, are you sure that's the best you can do? And he was like, yeah. I was like, deal. There's no point. Like, if I haggle the shit out of him for €200, mm-hmm. And then I bring the car in 6 months' time to get service. They're going to be like, "That here's this tight fucker in now."
Yeah,
they'll get you back.
I kind of see your point there, now, right?
They'll get you back.
But see, we knew a lad working
in the garage,
and he was after saying, "I've a car here you might like." Mm. So we didn't want to go in. Then he introduced us to the boss, and then absolutely break his balls.
Yeah,
and then he'll go to our mate who works there and be like, "Them two are some pricks. What are you bringing them in for?"
Yeah, see, I wouldn't buy a car from a garage because there's already a grand premium there. I always buy it like from a privately, so that's how tight I am. I'm just like, no, sorry.
You've no comeback on it then.
Yeah,
I know lads selling cars on done deal and they're selling buckets of shit.
No, I'd be like, so this is like, if you want to get it, if you're buying a car privately and you really want to get it checked out and make sure, just bring it to the AA on the Nace Road, and they, for €250, they'll put it through a series of tests and tell you it's good, bad, and what's, you know, whether it's worth it. So,
but like, when do you do that?
You get the...
When you buy it.
Yeah, you ask the driver. You ask the seller, could you take it to here and could we just put it through this and I'll pay for the test. I'll pay for it, like.
All right, okay. I guess that works in Dublin.
Yeah.
If I was selling a car, I'd be like, no.
Not bringing it to Dublin.
I know. But, like, you have to be, like... You think, like, I know everybody's, like, shy about haggling, but, like, if you save €500 on something, that's a week's wages for, you know, like, think how much work you had it done for, like... 20 minutes of embarrassment and just been like, you know.
Yeah, nah, fuck that. Pay the money.
There's easier ways to make €500 in 20 minutes. Just, no, I'm joking. But the thing about, if you go into a car dealership, people can be afraid to haggle. But like, he's coming in, say, oh, this car is 10 grand. And you're like, yeah, but I don't need all the extras. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
my thing was just give me everything.
But... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, there's certain things you don't need.
But like, if you shop around, you can probably avoid haggling.
Yeah,
like insurance.
Yeah,
Would you haggle with car insurance?
There's two things I haggle for. Well, and that's car insurance. But like Jared does our car insurance, our friend. So there's not much haggling. He gives us the best deal anyway. But like I used to.
So then you don't haggle for car insurance?
No, but I used to. So
used to.
Well, I more shop around. Like you ring AXA and be like, hey, fuckers. You know, chill insurance doing it there for €200 cheaper. And then AXA go, send me on the quote. And then I send them on the quote.
Yeah.
And then I get it for that price. Like, okay. So. Don't know if that's haggling. That's more shopping around.
Yeah.
But the one place I always haggle is Sky. I have Sky in the house, like.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I can't tell you the amount of times. It's basically every 3 months whenever my contract thing comes up. Ring them and say, I'm leaving. I'm joining Vodafone TV. Oh, I pass you through to someone. Yeah, no water. And then your man says, why are you leaving? Oh, the sports is too expensive. Right. Can you hold for a second? Comes back. Yeah, I can do the half price sports. Lovely. That's grand. Thanks, lad. Man, every month. Except I was chanting then when I used to work in Super Value. I was saying, jeez, I rang up Sky there. I'm after getting the bill down from €70 down to €40.
Yeah.
Jeez, I must tell my brother to do that. Next, the manager comes back in the next day. Jeez, my brother rang him up. I said, well, how'd he get on? She rang the wrong number. He's meant to ring like, you're meant to ring 0818. That Sky number. And he rang like some local Sky shop. Oh, and was like, I want to leave. They're like, Gran, you're disconnected. Sound for that. Television was cut off straight away. He was ringing up to get money off his bill. I'm fucking sitting there looking at black screen, nothing going on. I swear to God, he rang like a local Sky, whatever. He rang the 01 number.
You want
to
leave? Go on, Sai.
Yeah, yeah. You want to leave? That's grand. So, yeah, thanks very much for your call. Cut him off by straight away. Swear to God.
Oh, God.
Remember hearing that, like, I nearly fell down. It was a great story. But yeah, Sky, you can haggle with them boys.
Yeah. I suppose it's easier to haggle over the phone, though.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, if I was in now, like, now, I've been haggled. Before, like, I used to work in Super Value and it was a miserable fucker. He used to come in all the time. And, like, he got, like, a couple of pieces of lamb's liver, which is dirt cheap anyway.
Mm.
And it came to 47 cent. And he was like, I pressed the number on the screen, like, lamb's liver, printed out the barcode, put it on the bag. I was like, that's 47 cent then up at the checkout, yeah. Pat. And he was like, could you not do it for 45? So I was like, got the barcode. I was like, no, it says 47 on that there, Pat. You fucking tick, like. And he was bad. And then when I used to work in the clothes shop, used to get haggled a good bit.
Yeah.
But now in fairness, because this brand, this clothes shop I worked for made all their own clothes, there was a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know what gives people the right. So if someone said to me, oh, is that the best you can do? I'd be like, yep. Just out of ignorance, because I'm like, you miserable bastards, you're not getting that off me now for nothing. But like, just say they bought €300 worth of clothes and they were nice, you'd probably say, look, after buying, you know, 10 pairs of jeans there, I'll give you a 10% discount off that.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, but you had been given...
I'd been given that by the manager. He said, like, you know, use your initiative.
But shops should do that, though, because that's... Like, if you spend €300 clothes and they give you a 10% discount, you'd be like, fuck, that shop is really nice. That's where I'm going to go next time.
Just a shout out to your man in the Nike store there in Kildare Village who gave me a discount when I went in and got a few bits. Massive fan of the podcast. Sound out, lad.
Got a selfie at the counter.
Yeah, he's A1, bite.
Our local clothes shop would now, because Kildare is a small town, and if you're trying to get people back, don't shop in Cork or Clonmel. Stay local.
Yeah.
They need their rapport. They go in and introduce themselves and shake your hand. And
yeah.
Now, some people go over the top. Remember that lad in Clonmel? You'd only be in the door and he'd be haunting you.
Yeah.
Oh, he was like a bat around you.
I'd say he's gone out of business since. Because he is horrendous.
But come here, talking about on the phone.
Yeah.
I would haggle with everyone over the phone. I say, what do you go through? The toll.
Yeah.
Got a letter came through the door for the toll, whatever.
Mm. I could not believe this when I heard it.
What? I owed them like €35. I said, right, we're not paying that.
Yeah.
So I rang.
Yeah, Johnny, just declare that there now.
Yeah.
To the whole nation.
Rang, and your one's like, whatever. Oh, hello, my name is Claire. Welcome to E-Flow. Hello, Claire, how are you?
How are you, Claire?
I'm good, how are you, John? I'm good, Claire. I'm wondering, could you help me? Long pause.
You're taking the Jordan Belfort of He Who Speaks First Breaks.
Yeah, and then, of course, she says, yeah. Then she's agreed to help. So I said, look, Claire, I'm after getting this letter in the door. Not sure what's going on. Wondering if we can sort it out. Yeah, no problem, John.
Pause again, yeah?
So I'm after getting this bill. It's €35 and I don't know where it's after coming out of what's going on. Long story short, got it down to about 750. And then I agreed to sign up for the tag.
Okay.
So I gave her a bit of something.
Yeah. So she felt like she had got a win.
Yeah.
But really, you had just manipulated her.
But that's the
with your smooth talking.
But like haggling, the only way that it's positive is that if a trade is, you know, positive for both sides, if one person rips off the other, you're never going to do business with them again. Yeah, you might get a good deal now.
Mm.
But they'll remember it. And if they ever get the chance, they'll nail you.
That's my thing. Is if you start this haggling thing, they'll get you in the long run.
There's a way to improve the trade for both sides.
Like, say now, Maura, you bought that car and you got like €500 off. And you got down the road and 2 days later, the tyre blew in it. Like, You know, and you'd be going, that's a disgrace. And then, like, you'd have to just think, like, well, I got €500 off. That's probably the price of getting this shit fixed. Like,
yeah, but
karma,
that didn't happen.
Haggling karma.
It's a really negative outlook on it. It's like, screw or be screwed. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think you have to go as far as screwing people. I'm thinking you can improve the trade for both sides.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that you can do business again in the future.
Like, I definitely think that, like, so say if you're selling an animal, right? Say if you're selling a horse or a cow or something like
that. Yeah, go on.
You know, do you luck money in Tipperary?
Yeah, I nearly almost called off a car sale over luck money.
Yeah.
When I was buying my first car, it was like a 99 Golf. And I brought like a neighbour to come with me, like.
Farmer.
Yeah, farmer.
Yeah.
If you want haggling done, bring a farmer. Yeah. Then buys haggling for their fucking
See,
dinner.
That's the problem with Brexit. They send over politicians.
Yeah. They should just send over like the IFA. This Brexit should be over straight away.
Brexit, right, we leave. You knock off 10% there.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're going.
5% for luck.
But I literally, the whole car deal was called off. I was buying it for, never forget, €1,980.
Yeah.
And like, your mam's like, no, give him back €20 now for luck. And your mam's like, listen, I'm after giving him €200 off the car already. Like,
and he
was like,
money.
Give him back the €20 now for luck. And like, this went on. And I was like, I really need this car. I was looking at him and he was like, no, we're leaving. We don't want the car. And I was like, I need this car to get to work.
Yeah.
I need, and then
tomorrow.
Eventually, your mam's like, you're breaking my heart. Gave the €20 for luck. Like,
yeah, but that's.
And I drove the car into the ground then over the following 2 years.
Luck money is within certain trades. Like, when I was working on the buildings, whatever, if you were buying tools, now, like, tools would be expensive. Say you're buying something for £300 or £400, they'd always be, there's 10 or there's 20 for luck.
Jeez, I never heard of that.
Yeah. Mm. You wouldn't haggle buying tools?
I've never fucking tools, lad. The only tool I bought, I say, is an electric toothbrush. It's probably the biggest tool I've ever bought.
I'd love to bring you down to the Ball and the Slow Horse for an hour.
I've been there.
Have you seen how lads they'd stand around for half an hour arguing
I wouldn't go back there for love nor money.
Really?
Not fucking no. Country music and horses. No, this is the man's idea of hell. It's just like country music everywhere and like lads flogging horses. And they're flogging them. If you're walking down the footpath, you want to watch yourself because fucking mare will come up flying, some lad on the back of it, like, no saddle.
They're wild
down there. I've actually been to that.
Pretty cowboy style.
Some haggling going on. I think it's impossible to haggle if there's barcodes involved. If you're scanning something, you're asking somebody to change it at the checkout and having worked in shops and all that. When stuff starts getting changed at checkouts, that's a massive red flag for management. If you're going into a clothes shop to buy something and you're saying to someone, who's working there part time? They're in fifth year in school, and you're saying, "Is that the best you can do?" And people can get manipulated.
Yeah,
I get pressured.
But in some shops there is wiggle room.
Yeah,
I've never done it now, but I'm told
you've definitely done it.
No, I'm told that there is wiggle room in the likes of Penny's now. I've never heard of it. But come here, someone said that to me that Penny's have like 5 or 10% play. That if you're buying a good bit of stuff at the checkout in Penny's, and you ask nicely. They have it in the right to give you 5%.
I don't think Penny's would give you a discount.
Definitely.
I think Harvey Norman does.
Like, yeah, electrical goods.
Yeah.
Definitely, lad. If you're buying a TV, Harvey Norman now.
Yeah, your man, the time I bought the Fitbits, I bought 2 Fitbits.
Wheeler dealer, lad.
Yeah, but like, I didn't ask him. He was just like, your man from 2 Johnny's. I was like, yeah. He was like, grand, I'll give you a tenner off that. I was like, sound out, lad.
Tenner?
Yeah, that's my haggling skills. I keep going. I keep just going, hey, you know who I am. I'm your man's like, no, I'm like, no, no bother, lad. Yeah, sound. Thanks for that. No, I'm only messing. I've never done that.
You could be, you know, improving the deal for both sides. Give me a good deal there on the Fitbit, and I'll give you a mention on the podcast.
That wasn't what happened in the Nike thing. Can I just go back to that? Like, that lad was just a nice fella. Like, is there an art to haggling?
Oh, yeah.
There is, yeah.
What is it?
There's a science, right? Okay, one thing that I've told is that, like, so basically you should figure out what price you're willing to pay for something.
Before you start, yeah. Yeah,
what price? And then subtract 20% from that. Because whatever, whoever says the price first, that's the establishing.
Yeah.
So you're either going to go 20% below that or 20% above that. And if there's no, if your man isn't willing to haggle with you, then you're not going to get it for the price you want. So either walk away or give him the full amount. It just depends.
Yes, Max. Whatever price is named first is the reference. So, like, you could be buying something that you don't really know about. Mm. Like, you're buying a pair of jeans or you're buying a car or a musical instrument or something. I mean, you don't know how much it costs to make it. But if he says, oh, it's normally 1,000, but I'll give it to you for 900, you're like, fucking sound. But yeah, sure, the same thing could be on sale next door for 800.
I know.
So when the you got to watch out when that first price is named.
So you're saying, be polite, be a little bit cheeky.
Yeah, and never say what you're willing to pay for it.
Okay.
You got to let them lead.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah. That's like back in the early days when we used to be doing Two Johnnies, or I'm sure you'd done it with the band. It's like, how much are you? And then it's like, how much are you willing to pay? And then it's like, have you budget? How much budget? Like, it's just, thank God we've management nowadays, if I can deal with all that shit. But
the band. Yeah. When I was in a pub band, I think the publicans of Ireland would give the farmers a run for their money, and who were the biggest bastards to haggle. I swear to God, it could be 1 o'clock in the morning, you're loading out the back, yeah, here at the back of a pub. Oh, it wasn't that busy tonight. And I couldn't move inside the fucking pub. Place is rocking.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, you'll do it for knock off another 50, like, yeah, after the thing is done.
Oh, we got done once. I think it was like, what were we, like a month into the Two Johnnies?
And one of the first things we ever did for
We hosted a local Strictly Come Dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Not for our own club.
Not for our own club. Jeez, we never take money off them, but
a neighbouring club.
A neighbouring club. And I'll never forget it. To the day I die, I'll take this to the grave. Not that man or anything like that. But we had agreed a very reasonable thing.
Yeah.
With the guy. And he was like, great, oh, the whole lot. And they had it in a fucking big place, did 800 or 900 at it. It was full capacity, the whole lot. We'd done a great job, great night had by everyone.
Mm.
We were going, he gave us the envelope.
Got out. Didn't check the envelope.
No, because we knew this guy personally.
Still take out and count them in front of it.
Yeah, we should have.
We should have. But sure, look, we were wet behind the ears. Like, yeah, it was like our second ever
and
gig.
It was actually raining. We were actually wet.
It was lashing rain as well, yeah. And we wanted to get the fuck out of there.
And then we got home, we were short. And we were considerably short.
Considerably short.
And
we half short.
And did you go back to him?
Sure, we didn't. But
I still think about it to this day. It still grates on me. Even
someday you're going to kick down his door.
Like. Yeah,
I couldn't let that slide. And I, do you know what? That reflects poorly on that guy, because he should have said, "Look, we didn't make as much money," or he should have said to you, "Listen, we're not giving you what you want, and here is why." But I don't know.
But when you agree a fee,
yeah,
you fucking agree a fee. Now, thank God, we'll never have to deal with that again. But
when I was making Hurleys, a good few people used to haggle too. Maybe it's just coincidence that there's a lot of farmers coming in playing GA.
Yeah.
But I feel like saying to them, you know, the stuff I'm giving you is way better than what you're buying in a shop.
Yeah.
And it's probably a comparable price already. And I'm a small, independent, niche craft business. Why are you trying to screw me, like?
100%, like. But the problem is, once you agree to the haggle once, they have you for life.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're a business owner or working in a shop, when I was in Super Value, a woman came into me and was like, oh, can you throw in a little bit of extra mince there? And I genuinely felt sorry for her. She was a really good customer. She was living on her own. And I threw in that little extra bit of mince. And the boss caught me. And he was like, I'm telling you now, stop doing that. He was like, because she'll come in every day and she'll tell all the biddies down the nursing home.
Yeah.
And they'll all be fucking in. The floodgates will open.
Yeah.
So that's why I think you have prices, and that's why you stick to them.
Yeah. Well, like, you can always refuse to haggle. Like, I don't know, I just kind of grew up with it. I'm just thinking, like, my dad, like, if we were going to a football match and there was somebody selling, like, you know, scarves or headbands or something like that, and I was like, Daddy, can I have a headband? And, like, you know, the price would be maybe £1 or something like that. He'd be like, I have 50p here, go up and see if they'll take it off. He's like, we send it up to child. Like, and you just learn to have no shame, because, you know, like,
That is true.
But then, like, you know, somebody say, like, no, the price is the price. And then other ones would be like, be like, oh yeah, go on, here you go.
Yeah, but they give off the vibe like they're dealing in cash. They'll deal with you. Yeah.
I think that's the thing. When you know somebody's not paying their taxes, like there probably is wiggle room.
Dad, you'd be surprised who's haggling.
Yeah.
Now that we've had a little listening to like the music industry, I bet you like when you two go to play a stadium, I bet they haggle.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, you haggle. Everybody's trying to save money. Well, people are fair cheeky nowadays. Like, we must get 20 messages a week. Probably, to the Facebook page or Insta. Hey, I just started up a bouncy castle business. Can you share it on your page? Well, why the fuck would we share a bouncy castle thing on our page?
Your man's probably based in Castlebar.
Yeah,
or
you know, it
like.
Just makes no sense. Like
every day.
I know. Actually, like, people just don't have cop on and that. Like, sure, I get asked all the time, oh, how do I get on to the Late Late? Or can you give me any advice on, you know, getting my profile out there? It's like, I can, but you're going to have to pay. So,
yeah.
But like, I wouldn't give people that pay people to, you know, let them, you know, advice to get
there. You go. If you want to get in the Late Late Show, pay her.
No. You're either good enough or not good enough. And like, generally, we go to people. People don't come to us. So.
There you go. Have you ever haggled anywhere really odd?
I was thinking about this and I haven't. Like, I was thinking, like, when do people never haggle? And I was thinking, never haggle with the price of an undertaker, you know, and those lads make fortunes. It's like, you never haggle over the price of a coffin, you never haggle over the
You'd be fucking surprised.
Really?
We know an undertaker, yeah, and he said it's wicked to God, like.
Really?
And it's fair hard. How do you turn down a haggle? They're like, oh, my husband's dead, will you do it for 500? Do you know what I mean? And you're kind of like, ah, and he's like, he's dead. Oh, fuck, yeah, you know, he's dead, like, no, I can't, like. You know, it's hard to tell a fucking dead widow.
Mm. Yeah. Jesus, I'd find it very hard to haggle now over, like, you know.
Johnny, have you ever haggled anywhere?
I don't think I've ever haggled an undertaker now. I'd be able to haggle.
You're like, but I'd like the challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, next time someone belonging to me dies, now I'll. No. Yeah. Of course, you were surprised. I was saying I haggled with the doctor.
Honestly.
It's some price to go in there.
You've 6 months to live.
Can we not come to some sort of an agreement, doctor?
Yeah. I'll do you 7 months. No, I mean, you go into the doctor and you have a checkup and then you go and it's 50 euro or something, say, right? And then if you have to go back again, I'd be like, straight away, I'd be like, here, I'm not paying another 50. Mm. And they always knock you something off, like.
Yeah, but I think that's a rule. If the doctor asks you back for a checkup, it is a reduced rate.
Yeah, but if you don't initiate it, your one reception will just be like, oh, how are you? Because she doesn't know what you're at. She's like, yeah, another 50. And I'd say, here, go out of that.
Yeah.
Like, same if you're getting your prescription renewed, you don't have to pay for that. You just ring in, get it. Like, it'd be grand.
You do have to pay for that.
I'm paying for that. Yeah. Some people pay for that. He's only signed a piece of paper.
Yeah, like.
A sick note. You have to pay for a sick note now.
Yeah. I like it is like, so say if a girl is on the pill, right? Like, you have to go, right?
Behave. We're in favour of that.
Yes.
Contraception's good, yeah.
Contraception, right. Like, you have to go into the doctor and like every 6 months, every time your prescription up is up, and like he just goes in and he just signs a piece of paper and like he might take your blood pressure. He's like, grand, yeah, there's another 6 month prescription for the pill. And 50 euro, please. And you're just like, ripped off. Absolutely ripped off.
That's no way, you should haggle there.
Contraception should be free anyway. But
no, I'm telling you, Mara.
Yeah.
You should haggle there.
It's 15 euro for a sick note. So if you're out of work for 3 weeks, it's 15 euro a week. Get your sick note.
Mm. Haggle there. See, GPs are self-employed, so they do try and make money at every which way they can. So.
Yeah. I remember like when I used to go to the doctor back home in Ross Cray. Like in care now, I have my own doctor, so you pay at reception.
Mm.
But like back then, it used to be like, grand, yeah. You okay, so yeah, that's 50, so. And you give it to the doctor and he'd just be like, thanks. Put it in his drawer. And like, I was just thinking like, fucking hell. Right, Johnny, if you were to haggle, how would the scenario go? I'll play the shopkeeper,
what? What are we buying?
You're coming in to buy a drill. You're coming in to buy a drill, right? A battery drill.
You've already heard me on the phone to Claire on EFO, like.
So what would you say?
I suppose I'd probably be looking at the drills. And I get to chat going, well, how's it going?
Not too bad, how are you?
Not too bad, you flat out you are.
Oh, unreal, yeah, I'm looking to, or you're looking at a drill there, that's the E25 fucking.
Oh, is that Makita one, is it?
Yeah.
Are they any good?
Unreal, they're probably the best on the market now at the moment.
I don't know, I know a lad now, he had one of them, they're giving him wicked trouble.
Yeah? Jeez, it comes with a 12-month guarantee.
Is it?
Yeah.
12-month guarantee. Yeah. And is there one battery or two batteries?
There's that one battery.
Fuck, so what if that one died in you, what would you do?
She'd have to keep it charged.
Ah, that'll be paying the whole. How much is it?
250.
And how much is the second battery?
75.
Fuck, that's a lot of money now. I wasn't thinking of spending that much now, to be honest.
225 now in total.
That'd be 325.
325, yeah, I'm bad at maths.
Yeah, is it a powerful drill, is it?
Blow the fucking shit out of you, lad, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't think it probably... I'd want a lot of power on my own, like.
Right, fuck off, so. I'm not going to buy it. I fuck you out of the shop at that
just
point.
Just keep breaking it down.
Yeah, lad, I'm telling you. I was wilting inside there.
You were just going to give it to me for free.
Yeah, just hey, take the drill, man. Take the drill. Jesus Christ, you win. There you go. I hope we've enlightened the listeners of this podcast to the dark arts of haggling. You can contact Johnny personally for anybody who wants some life lessons in haggling. Because I tell you that man is haggling. He's haggling me with his eyes at the moment.
It'll cost you.
It'll cost you. We leave it there. Listening to Mike Denver may have made him go blind, but somehow when Mary Kennedy came on Nationwide, his eyesight was restored to perfect 20/20 vision. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
Hi, Noel.
I'm a young fella.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Any news that in the week?
Obviously. Did you think there's just no news? Like when I'm not here, the news stops. The news never stops.
We were in the Shamrock Lounge during the week. There was no signing in there.
A rare miss. Didn't think they'd let you in.
Yeah, no, we had a word with Margaret and stuff. Sorry.
You leave Margaret alone. I'm bringing down the tone, bless. Are you all right?
Yeah, bit of a cold now.
You were fucking heading you like a mixy rabbit. Big fucking eyes in you.
Bit of the flu, yeah.
Fucking old Dawson mixing with horses. Would you eat much rabbit now down these way?
God, no, Jesus.
You need rabbit?
No, never.
Jeez, I'd like a better rabbit now.
Yeah.
Or, as they call it in Carlo, steak. Fuck's sake. I swear, I went into a pub one day. I was going through Carlo for some reason and put in to get the old grub. And the young fella says, fucking recommend the steak. I said, oh, go on, give me the steak. And I swear to Nicky English, it was a fucking rabbit. Swear to God, it's a fucking rabbit. Rabbits are back, bite. Rabbits are back. I swear to fuck, I was at the field the other day and rabbits everywhere. Mm. Rabbits, not in my field now, they'd be gone. The fucking neighbour's field. Fucking rabbits everywhere. They were scattered. Like, you know them yolks you put in ice cream? Tens and hundreds.
Sprinkles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tens and hundreds. They were like them all over the field.
What? I think it's hundreds and thousands. Tens,
yeah.
Whatever. Would you shoot rabbits? You'd shoot rabbits, Maureen, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only way. Because I don't agree with snares.
No.
Fucking snaring is bad news. You don't let people trap.
Yeah.
Snare.
Yeah.
That's fucking terrible.
Why?
I don't like them at all. Because when I was a boy, I had a bad incident with a snare. I got my left hand cut off clean at the wrist.
Gone. No way.
Yeah, cut clean off.
That looks fairly.
Yeah, well, it took 5 years to grow back. That's a fact.
That's definitely not a fact.
5 years I went with no left hand.
My God.
I'll never forget it. What was the right hand? I can't fucking remember now. I'll never forget it. 5 years was gone at the fucking wrist, right? Gone. So, are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You were fucking head and eyes in your ear like an old shell of kabuki or something. You're not well, young fella, I'd say. I'll do it my own here, I don't mind.
Shell of kabuki?
Yeah.
What's that like?
The fucking snail. You know the snail had the shell?
Yeah.
And then you call him, you know, oh, shell of kabuki.
There's no way that works.
If you see a snail on a stone and you go up to him and you start saying, hello, Mr. Shalakabuki. And he'll come out of his shell when you call him. And he'll come out and they have two big eyes. Do you know a snail?
Yeah.
The two big eyes.
Yeah.
You sing the song, hello, Mr. Shalakabuki. That's what I'm saying. You've eyes like a fucking shit like a book.
Thanks. Cheers. Fucking.
You're not well, lad. You want to mind yourself. I don't know what you're at down the Shamrock. But now a bit of news. Speaking of places that are in a bad way, Port Arlington.
Ah, jeez.
No, well, yes, but not in this case. Africa, right?
Get your head around this, yeah.
Yeah, Africa. There's fucking mad bastards out there now. I'll tell you this, right? Three teenage girls are up in court for doodling on the picture of the president.
Wow.
Now, women shouldn't be doodling in public anyway. The odd time you see a few lads at it, you're going to a busload of lads going to a Munster final, they might pull over and do a bit of doodling if the bucket was full, you know? But they were, oh no, sorry, these were drawing, doodling on a picture of the president.
What did you think it was?
I thought they were going to title it. And they'd no toilet paper, they were using the picture of the president.
Jesus Christ, doodling.
Like a bit of scrim or something. No. So anyway, according to Human Rights Watch, who are not to be confused with the Human League, the pop music band. Do you know them?
Yeah.
Remember they had the song, "Don't You Want Me, Baby."
Yeah. You're a lovely singer, though.
Thanks very much. And I remember that video, "Don't You Want Me, Baby." And the fucking courtier, man, no wonder she didn't want him. Did you see him?
Yeah.
Fucking clown. They had the hair slicked back and he had big two fucking hoopy earrings on him going round like he's fucking Lionel Richie or something. I don't know. Anyway, so the Human Rights Watch, they're keeping an eye on things down in Burundi. Now, were you ever in Burundi?
No.
No, it's kind of a mix of Tanzania and Monaghan, right? Do you know Africa?
Yes.
Right? About halfway down in Africa, you have like Kenya and you have fucking Congo and all that, say. It's down there. Burundi's kind of down there, right? And it's famous for the song. Do you remember the song? "Don't Cry For Me, Burundi."
I think that might be Argentina.
Argentina,
yeah.
That prick of a karaoke machine fucking done.
"Don't Cry For Me, Burundi."
Fuck it. I was at a christening last week and I got up and I was singing. I was up in the stool singing, "Don't Cry For Me, Burundi."
How was it received?
Well, one fella said to me, "You've the name of that wrong." And then most other people were saying, "Who are you and why are you at the christening?" It was fucking a good day going now. That's just kind of the way the evening was going. I ended up at a christening. But fuck it, it's Burundi. Okay, Argentina. Makes more sense now. So these girls, these teenage girls below in Burundi, down in Africa, they drew a bit of a scribble on their school book over a picture of the president. Mm. And he's pure tick over it. They're in big trouble. Big trouble, John boy. The girls have been charged with insulting the head of state. And they're going to be up in court. Mm. And they could go to jail for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Fucking serious stuff now. Like 5 years for drawing. And like, imagine you were caught doing things you'd be doing. Fucking shamed yourself. And in a church. You know, decorum. Cop on. But anyway, Human Rights Watch Director for Central Africa, Lewis Mudge, he said the girls are still in prison. They're still in prison now, as we speak. And they're waiting to be charged. And he said they were so scared, they're not even eating. Girls so frightened, right? Teenage girls, I think about 13 years of age or something.
Shitty.
That's Lewis Mudge, of course, who was a brother of Matty Mudge, who was a digger driver in Mallow. And that's what they say, if it won't budge, call Mudge. That's a catchphrase, very good, if you want to give him a call. The president of Burundi has been the president since 2005. That's 24 years ago. He's the first president ever. Quick maths. He's the first president ever to get 3 terms. And the people are going mental. Last time he went for term, they're like, "You can't be doing this." Fucking fights broke out, protests, 100 lads killed and all. The whole thing went fucking tits up. So the president who, that's the president of Burundi, Pierre Nkurunziza. Not a man to be trifled with. Or pronounced in a hurry. So we're going to keep an eye on Burundi. Rocking up children for drawing on their books. Oh. Nothing the nuns didn't do. Now, we're off to the US of A.
Lovely.
Okay? They have a woman by the name of Cardi B.
Woohoo!
Have you heard of her?
I love Cardi B, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Have you?
I've heard of her, yeah.
Fuck, to be more on your line now to be doing your sums. Doing your homework. Never mind fucking Cardi B.
I'm a bit old for homework.
Are you still in school?
No.
Are you finished?
I've finished school a long time, yeah.
You don't want to go fucking back? Cardi B is trying to copyright her catchphrase. Have you heard this?
Nope.
She has a catchphrase which is, Okurt. Right?
Okurt.
Like a fucking pigeon. That's her catchphrase. And only in America could you produce these kind of fucking blockheads that have been doing this. And she's going to catchphrase, she's going to copyright that. And I have her, where's the, I have Donica's hand computer here.
That's a phone, though.
Fuck, not a phone. There's no handle on it. It's a fucking phone. Fool, it's a hand computer. Hang on now, have it here.
It's like, okay.
There you go. On the hand computer.
What in the name of God is that?
Well, I don't know. She's going to trademark it anyway. But that woman, Wicked Notions. You know, I knew all them. I knew her father and all. Willie B. Do you know what the B stands for?
Well.
Barrett. Cardi Barrett. That was her name. That was her name. And tell you, Cardi was only a nickname because she used to always wear a cardigan.
Oh my God. Cardigan Barrett.
Yeah, that was her name. But you know her real name?
What?
Gubnet. Gubnet Barrett. Gubnet Barrett. Yeah. And then she fucked off to America. Got notions. Like, all them Barretts were wild, you know. And now her father, Willie Barrett, not the referee now.
Okay.
No relation. Her father, Willie Barrett, was a plaster in Greg Namana. And in fairness to him now, he's probably the best of them. I got him to do a job one time. Now, I never paid him, whatever. But fuck, apparently he was the best of the Barretts. But she fucked off out of Greg. She left Kilkenny altogether. And now she does the pop singing abroad in America. But I heard she doesn't keep in contact with the Barretts anymore.
No.
Which, I think that's sad.
That's sad, yeah.
Do you know, even if they are a shower of bastards, you're still, you know, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Do you know? And one other one I thought you might be interested in is, Beyonce tried to copyright her child's name.
What? Ivy, isn't it?
Ivy Blue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Blue.
Or Blue Ivy, but I'd say you're fucking safe enough there. Beyonce, don't be too many lads. Naming the child Ivy Blue Barrett. And just, I know, real local news, not only myself. I'm thinking of going away for a few days.
Where are you going now?
Well, you know, calving and things of that, nearly taken care of. And, you know, I don't milk anymore. There was a milk boom, but I got out. The brother does the milking up at the home place now. But I thought, having to be there every morning and evening to milk cows, that's too much like work
for me now.
Big pair of tits in your face.
Oh,
cows. My two favourite tits now, Carmel's and the two Jimmies. Carmel said she wanted to go somewhere tropical. So we settled on Killarney. Because they kind of have that. Killarney kind of has that Mexican vibe, I always felt. You know? And then they have that kind of Jimmy Buckley thing coming down from Limerick. So it's a good town for the music.
Yeah.
Killarney. You know, they have the INEC or the Glen Eagle.
Yep.
As we call it. And I'll tell you, I was down there one time, fucking it's in the 80s now, I'd say. And do you know who was playing in the front bar at the Glen Eagle?
What?
Metallica.
Really?
No way.
Yeah, they were only getting going at the time. And they were okay. They were okay now.
I didn't think you'd be a fan of Metallica.
Well, they were kind of hard to drive to. But they were okay. Do you know? And they had a tape. They were selling a tape called Ride the Lightning. And I said, why not buy it? You have to ride in Everton Elton Town. So now they're nice lads, but like they wouldn't be a big hit with ladies now down in Killarney.
All right.
Not like the real sawmen.
Who are they?
Oh, they're the four lads in Metallica, and between the four of them, they wouldn't keep into Declan Ernie. Now, tell you that for a fact. So I'm looking forward to going down to Killarney now, but I always stay in the B&B. I never stay in a hotel.
Why is that?
It's too big. Hotels are too big.
What's the problem?
Oh, it's not natural. It's fucking unnatural. And you go to B&B, you have the ban on tea, right? Mm. And goes wrong. You have the ban on tea, look after it. Like, let's say a dog broke out. You're in a hotel. Who's going to tackle the dog?
The night porters.
Nah, he made me bollocks. Fucking ban on tea. Fight a dog for you. Make tea. A whole lot. Night porters. Wait, who's a waiter going to come tackle the dog? There's a better chance of you getting the thump off Beyonce now than you know, a few more Ivy Blues running around Dasgray, huh?
Hey!
Now, so if anyone has any recommendations of where I should go on my holidays, they can write in to the Two Jimmies.
Come on, no.
Yeah, I want somewhere nice now. But I'm only going for 2 days.
Okay, so somewhere close by then.
But I get homesick.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, 2 days, long time to be away. Okay. Fine, good luck.
All right, we don't know what she's going to talk about, but it's an update on her Tinder adventures. Maura, you've put down 3 words on a running order. Date gone wrong. Spill.
Okay, so I'm going to tell the short version of the story and then the long story of the version. Okay, so the short story is I went on a Tinder date and now the guards want to talk to me about a bank robbery. So.
Oh, shit.
Mm. Yes. So basically,
I told you Nidge is not a real person.
So it's kind of like, it's about the fourth date with this person. And I said, she'll come over to me and we'll sure go for a spin around Drumconner. So that was grand. He didn't really know Drumconner that well. So he's like, I'll park at the football pitch. So that was fine. I'll pick you up from the football pitch. Drove up, whatever. Off for a little spin. See the sights of Drumconner. You know, the handball alley, the church, the grotto, you know.
Jeez, you went all out for it.
Oh, the bog
road.
Pretty
good date.
Yeah, it's a very good date. That was grand. Drove back to the football pitch about 11 o'clock. Stayed chatting in the car for about 20 minutes or whatever. Then maybe...
Chatting.
Yes, chatting.
Awkward.
That was all grand. And I think somebody from the football club might have come down during that time to switch off floodlights or something like that. Anyway, about a week later, Ushing calls me when I'm at work and is like, Maura, are you after prank calling me? I was like, no, what do you mean? He's like, no, seriously, you're after prank calling me. I was like, no, wow. And he's like, the guards are after ringing me. I was like, why are the guards ringing you? The guards want to know what I was doing at Drumconner football pitch last week. And I was like, well, what did you tell them? And I was like, I thought it was a prank call. So I said I was having an orgy. I was just like, oh my God. And he's like, I was like, but why were they asking you where your football, why your car was parked at the football pitch? And he's like, oh, well, they're investigating the ATM being taken out of a bank in Kingsgirt the following morning after our date. And they want to ask me what I was doing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, that's basically... apparently whoever seen us parked up the football pitch took down our regs and passed it on to the guards the next morning. So that would have been at 11 o'clock on a Thursday night. Yeah.
How far are you from the incident?
We're about 10 miles.
Ah, Jesus. So what have you got to do with it?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, they passed on our regs to the guard and that morning, Friday morning, 4 a.m., somebody took a digger into Kingsgirt and dug an ATM machine out of the wall and took it off. And so the guards looked at suspicious activity in the area around that time, put two and two together and got 27. And yeah, I have to go into Ballyburgh Guard Station now and say I was on a date. I was not robbing a bank.
Fucking hell. Your dates are fucking outrageous, Maura.
Yes, that's it.
So you're going to be in the clear now?
I hope so. Jeez, yeah. Like, you know, you know, like, I hope to go on a few more dates with this lad when I get out of prison, like, you know, but
he's gonna dob you in.
Yeah.
It was all her. I don't know how to drive a digger.
So where'd you bury the money?
And
can we have some?
No.
She'll haggle with you, Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking hell, Mara. Will you stay out of trouble? Jesus Christ.
I know, but this is just like, the guards just must have zero leads on this crime if they think I had something to do with a bank robbery.
It's definitely that one who works in RT. She's mad at the bank
robbery. I feel bad about stealing penny sweets from a shop. So, like, you know.
Why do you do it?
Yeah, you should stop doing that as well.
You should cut that out.
Stop doing that as well.
Yeah, so that's basically the story of, I don't know, like, how does this happen to me? But anyway, it's fine. It's grand. I'm sure the guard will, you know, accept my alibi that I'm shifting at the time and not, you know.
Mara will have a load of stories on next week about all the other criminals she's dating. how she's giving them alibis.
Who's the lad she's on a date with? Want to know, like, who's this dodgy guy?
Mara, for next week, you might stay out of trouble. Jesus Christ. Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies Podcast and use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number 2 Johnnies Pod to spread the good word of the gospel according to us. Yeah.
That's so right. And if you're not following us on the gram, give it a go. The Two Johnnies on Instagram. And we have you can follow our personal ones too if you like. I'm Johnny B.
Yeah, and I'm Johnny Smacks.
There you go.
Johnny Smacks. So, yeah, you can follow us. We're nearly going to hit 100,000 on Instagram. And when we do, we're going to announce something very, very intimate and special on this podcast. Now it's time to put on our semi-regular agony uncle slot that we like to call
Dear Johnny's.
And this week's letter is from an anonymous person.
I have it here now. You go on, read it out there, Horse.
Dear Johnny's, I need your help on this one. Well, more so my friend needs your help. Let's call him Peter. He recently got back together with his ex, Mary. They'd been going out for years but broke up about a year or so ago. We told Peter when they broke up that he was better off without her as she wasn't good for him. He bent over backwards and done everything for her and got nothing, only grief, in return. I better give you some background here. Peter's in his late 20s and is a really popular lad in our local town and is well respected and liked, particularly down the GA club.
Mop.
And well, let's put it this way, Mary isn't. She's also in her late 20s and makes no effort with us lads. So he's on about, yeah, Peter's friends here. If we ever go on a night out, she always seems to be hanging around with our group, but not actually chatting to us. It seems she's just there to keep an eye on him. Also, we recently went away for a night out to watch the rugby, and she ruined it by insisting Peter be home by a certain time and ringing him constantly. As a friend to Peter, we don't know what to do. He was in great form when he was single and really happy in himself. We told him at the time we thought getting back with Mary was a bad idea, but he ignored us. Should we sit down and have a chat with him before he gets a house with her, or married, or worse, even kids? Any advice would be great, lads. Love the podcast. Love your Vicar Street show. Anonymous.
Go on, Anonymous. Thanks for coming to Vicar Street. Yeah. Peter. What the hell?
Peter.
Peter, you need to get rid of that bitch.
What do you reckon? What do we reckon?
Is Peter afraid of being left on the shelf?
Oh, by the sound of it, I'd say.
By the sound of it, yeah. So he's in his late 20s, which is kind of that stage in life you get to, and you go like, fuck it. It's shit or bust now.
Turns out I'm a complete fuck up.
Yeah, no, but what it is, I guess he's probably, what it sounds like here is they broke up.
Mm.
He had a bit of crack when they were single. She probably had a bit of crack as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now it says he was really good to her and didn't get it back in return when they were together originally. Mm. So they broke up. He had a taste of being on his own and stuff like that. Maybe he just thought in that period of time he didn't meet the right one.
Mm.
And then he went back to what he knows. It's like the thing, you always go back to what you know.
Like
comfort,
you know, it can be scary.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in a long-term relationship and then you're out.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? What, you know, maybe he probably doubts himself. Maybe, like you say, more I'll be left on the shelf. You know, that's a scary time.
Probably is it that.
Yeah. But are the lads, is Peter justified in his, or sorry, is Anonymous and his friends justified in their reasons for not liking Mary?
I don't. Well, he's like, she makes no effort with us, the lads. Like, maybe you're a bunch of absolute animals down the pub. Like,
yeah,
she's just sitting there not talking to you.
It could be that, but genuinely, from our experience and our friends who are with girls and stuff like that, they always make an effort and they always, you know, it's great if one of your friends going out with someone and they actually add to the group.
Yeah,
rather than like, oh, for fuck's sake, she wants here. Like, like I remember a friend of mine. He used to go out with a one and we'd be watching soccer on a Saturday and you watch the 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock game and she used to come down and read a book in the pub.
Oh.
And I used to be just thinking, why are you bringing her here? She's reading fucking a novel. Like,
she's a crack vacuum.
Yeah.
She's a sponge.
So she's just sucking the life out of it.
Yeah.
She want to go home, lad.
Yeah, he broke up with her now, you know, a couple of years later, but...
Yeah, how many times did you say to him?
Fuck it, but like the boys used to be like, Jesus, like, and they'd be like, we doing all pontoon there, first goal scorer. And she'd be like, I'm fine. Back to reading the novel, I'd be like, oh my
God. Ah, she want to go get fucked, like, get out of the pub. Get out of the pub.
Get that bitch out of here.
Reading a book while the boys are watching football.
Yeah, so that was the kind of thing. But from the sounds of this letter, it seems like they're together for a long time.
Yeah.
And like, I would say maybe Mary is Peter's first love.
That could be too late.
And you see, that's the thing. That's the thing that's sticky, because your first love, your first love stays with you forever.
Like Davy Carton by... First love stays with you forever.
Forever and ever.
Saw Doctor said it, which makes it absolute fact.
That's a fact. Yeah, so your first love does stay with you forever. I mean, like, that first person that you initially kind of get with, like, you'd think, oh, this is it now forever. This is it. All rosy in the garden. Life complete. Butterflies, the whole lot. And then, obviously, in years time, you realise, God, she wasn't, like, you know. But there's still always that nagging thought of her in the back of your head. You know, I think we all probably have experienced that one time or another. Like, we were in Galway last week, and we do a part in the show where we might get one or two people up from the crowd.
We might not.
Or we're not going to wait in here. And a name, a list came to me, and I looked at it, and I recognised one of the names, and I was like, hold on, now what does that one look like?
Yeah.
The exact same name, first and second name.
Yeah.
Of your ex.
Of my ex. And I was like, and like our
she's going to come up on stage and ruin you.
Yeah, and James, who manages the tour, is like, oh, you all right? And I was like, yeah, I'm grand. He was like, you're gone completely white. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm fine. Can you just check what she looks like? He was like, yeah, he came back then and described her, and it wasn't her. But I swear to God, wasn't I? Like, I was gone. I was worried. Like,
he was going to die.
White as a ghost. Like.
Oh. Okay, look, why did they break up? Do you know? And why did they get, like... The boys don't like her just because she's no crack, but they reckon she gives him a hard time. Like, if the lad is... I know. Like, they don't have kids or anything, so...
Yeah.
It's not like... I think things are different if you have a lot of kids and it's like, you know, come home and do your share. Like, but if they agree, look, I'm going to go out and watch the rugby and have the crack, lay him off.
Yeah.
I think, like, Mary's demonstrating really controlling behaviour here.
Yeah, she seems insecure.
Yeah, and like... If a guy was doing that to a girl, like if a guy was ringing a girl constantly and being like, where are you? What are you doing out with your friends?
Where are you?
Like, you'd be like, no, but you'd be like, that's psychological abuse nearly. So like,
and a major turn off.
Yeah. So like, I'd be thinking, no, he shouldn't be with Mary. Like, he really shouldn't.
He's probably not kicking back.
Yeah,
he want to sit her down and say, look, you driving me crazy.
So this guy has said that, like, he bent over backwards for her and got nothing in return. And sometimes, like, much wants more, you know, he should have taken the approach, treat me and keep me keen. Whereas this one is just...
She's walking all over him.
Yeah, it seems to be all take, and not give much. Now, bear in mind, this is a guy who's blatantly against her, who wrote us this letter.
Yes.
You know? So you got to bear that in mind. But the other thing is, when they broke up, the boy said, you're better off without her. That's what everyone will tell you anytime you break up with anyone.
Yeah, no one's going to ever be like, oh, you broke up. Oh, you need to get back with them.
Like, I remember a guy from our club broke up with a woman.
Right.
And, like, they were in a serious relationship, like, very serious relationship. And he was older than us. And I was like, look, I'll bring you out for a drink there, you know. Fucking have an old chat, make sure you're okay. He's like, yeah, no bother. So I brought another mate of mine. Who was great crack, and I was like, he's perfect, like, he's really funny now, and he'll keep this night light, you know, won't be sitting down depression session job. And he came in, and your man was like, my friend was like, just sorry to hear you broke up with herself or whatever. And he was like, yeah, sound. And then he was like, I heard she was an absolute cunt anyway. And then, like, it was just like, I just looked at him, and then the other lad was like, I would never ever say that about her. And he was like, ah, sure, fuck it, you know, you have to move on anyway. And I'll never forget it. Like, I was just like, oh. And it was, we hadn't even taken a slug over her first pint.
Oh, God.
And he was like, ah, or she was an ass.
I bet that pint lasted about 2 seconds.
Oh, I tell you what, he was back up at the bar. I was like, your man went to Tyler. I was like, you can't say that to me. He was like, sure, I'm trying to cheer him up. I was like, cheer him up. You're going to drive this man over the edge.
What an opener.
Yeah.
Options.
The thing is, I say Peter's got back with her because he's looking for a simple life.
Is he settling?
Yeah.
He's not backing himself?
No. Mm-hmm. He's walked, you know, he's been single and he's walked walked away. He's walked to the cliff's edge.
Yeah.
And he's turned back and went back to what he knows, because I think that happens an awful lot of times. That people stick with what they know.
This low self-esteem or just...
Yeah, probably.
Not even that, but it's just what you know. Like, people like what they know.
Yeah.
Like, he knows, he come home from work, she'll be there, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It'll all be how it was.
Is Mary doing a bit of cooking now? Bacon. I don't
know. I don't know. But, like, talking about, like Peter that we're talking about here probably had a life map. Get with this girl.
Yeah.
Get a house. Get married. Have kids. It'll all be happy. And then he becomes single, and that's blown to bits. Yeah. And maybe he didn't like the change. He didn't want to change. Maybe maybe he was like, look, fuck it. You know, I have a good thing going here. You know, it's grand.
If I get back with her, my life is back on track.
Yeah. He's back on that life map.
Yeah, but I think your friends need to sit down and say, look, things change.
Mm.
And just because... like, those things that you want, like marriage and kids, they can still happen, but just with somebody else, somebody who you're actually happy with. Because if you're not happy with this girl, when you don't have a mortgage and when you don't have kids, and if you add those two things into that equation,
pressure,
yeah,
like, Jesus, you're going to end up one of those dads that sees their kids on the weekend, you know?
Yeah,
and
that is the scary talk. Just on the woman accompanying, on a night out.
Go on,
views.
If she's good crack.
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong?
You know, but then...
what's what? Like, I don't know. From us, we when we go out, it's like...
we go big fucking hard.
Group of lads, like, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, normally, girls would go out in a big group of girls, and then you'd all meet at some stage or another, like...
yeah, but see, it's different for us. Like, if we were both living in Care and going out with two girls in Care and working regular jobs, and we were off Saturday nights and we were going out in Care, you can bring her... and then it's like, oh, there's the boys. I'll talk to you in a bit there, like. And you'd be coming and going during the night. But sure, we're all over the place and we're working every weekend. Yeah. Like, it's not like we're living a regular life.
That's true as well, yeah.
You know, so I would say to this lad, don't be afraid of the map. Don't be afraid to throw the map out the window.
Don't be afraid to go off centre.
I'm going way off the map, lad.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, when you're a kid and you're playing like Age of Empires or something, and you can see a bit and then everything outside that is black.
Yeah.
We're in the black.
In the black zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's well for Peter. Like, he can have kids at any time. Sure, like... Casso was having kids when he was 70.
Ronnie Wood job.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, mate. Joe. Right, advice. What do they do in this situation? What's the friend's options here?
I'd say it to him. But you were saying you're afraid that Peter's not going to take it well.
I know lads like that who have, when it comes to relationships and girls in particular, and this goes in any relationship, whether that's like, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever way it is, blinkers. Relationship blinkers.
She can't go wrong, yeah. She can't put a foot wrong.
Oh, her shit don't smell.
Yeah, like what I think you have to do is, it's very hard to tell someone that, you know, that person you're with, they're not good for you, because they don't want to hear it. But I think you need to bring it up every month or so and, you know, wear them down. Like,
you're in the long game more.
Yeah, but like, just, because they'll thank you afterwards. Like, it might take you 6 months, but like, true friends are bluntly honest. But look, like, you can be directly honest. You don't have to be saying she's a cunt.
Yeah.
You just say, look, you're not happy. I don't see you happy at the minute. You know, when 3 months ago when you were single, do you remember that night out? Yeah, you're on top form. And now, sure, you won't go out past midnight because Yuan's been scaldy with you on the phone. So.
Yeah.
Suppose you can say to him, look, you're not happy. I want to see you happy. It's obvious you and Yuan have issues. Like, could you please try and address these issues so that you're happy again?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were in Peter's shoes and somebody come up and said to you, listen, your missus is scaldy, give her the P45, would you take that well? Or you'd be like...
depends.
How would I break through?
Depends what the situation is, as in, like, what his reasons for saying that is. You know what I mean?
You think if he's got ulterior motives?
Yeah, no, but if someone comes up to you and says, your missus is a bitch, and you're like, why? And he goes, she's not much crack. You're going to be like, get away, you absolute gimp. Like, whereas if he says, like, look, we've noticed this change in you. You're miserable now to be around.
Yeah.
You always seem unhappy. I think you just got to state facts to him and say it in a nice way. And I think the best way to say it to someone is like, look, I'm going to say this now, but like, we're not going to fall out over it.
Because you can't fall out then.
Yeah, you can't fall out then. You know that's the rules. But like, I think, honestly, relationship blinkers. Talking about Brexit and all that being problems. It's one of the biggest problems in Ireland.
Man,
I'm telling you.
Like, in all aspects of your life, like, feedback is just
Yeah, you have
that's,
to.
That's the breakfast of champions.
You have to take feedback, yeah. So what we're recommending for this guy who wrote into us.
Would you say it to me?
If you were going out with someone and I thought she was wrong for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sound.
100%. Well, you see, I would notice more than anyone when you're being miserable. Because we spend so much time together. And I'd be like, listen, I'm going to sort that shit out now. Because I'm 50% of you.
Yeah.
So if you start fucking shit up for me, she gots to go.
Jenny B's only miserable when he's hungry. So
yeah, so yeah, that is true as well. So the advice we're giving this guy is have a chat with Peter, you know, as a group of friends, have a chat with him. But, you know, have your points made.
Yeah.
Have decent points. Don't just say, look, break up with her there. She's a bitch. You know, I can't be saying that.
Right.
Oh, maybe say it to her.
No.
Jeez, fuck,
No, because what she'll do is she'll turn Peter against Anonymous. Because she'll be like, can't believe what your friend said to me.
Yeah, she might do that, lad.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. Go around to her and say, look, what's going on with Tui? Like, he doesn't seem happy. You know, but no, you don't know her well enough.
So we're going, right, have a chat with Peter. Yeah. We might get this lad to come back to us.
Yeah.
We have his email, so we might get him to come back to us.
Kick her in the chest.
Yeah. All right.
No, maybe not.
Finally, it's Yurt and Dirt time where us, the two Johnnies, give our highlight and lowlight of the week. Johnny B.
My Yurt of the week was we got the best taxi driver of all time.
That was, yeah, legend.
Not going to lie, we had a big night.
Heavy night.
Heavy going, and we were getting a taxi the next morning. Taxi driver, sound. Gave me a bottle of water. Gave me some sort of painkiller tablet. I didn't know what it was. Done the job. And then proceeded to give us a load of recommendations of places to get food and drinks.
Yeah. But he was good. He picked us up and he was like, how are you feeling, boys? How are you, lads? And we're like, hungover. And he was like, I'll shut up, so.
Oh.
And then, that's exactly what you want. And he was obviously an Irish dub taxi driver, known for talking shit.
Yeah. Also, I just want to give a shout out to the Special Olympics.
Mm.
Kicking ass for Ireland. Well done,
great.
Lads.
It was great in the Late Show last night, actually. Yeah. It was a really nice piece as well. Moment, so fair play to you on that.
Johnny, your yurt?
My yurt of the week is Afterlife, Ricky Gervais.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, remember I was saying it was very emotional. So I re-watched it.
The whole thing?
Yeah, because the first time I watched it, I was in a vulnerable place. So I re-watched it now with a fresh set of eyes, and it is unbelievable. I cried, sobbed, and then like you be...
Where do you get the time? What I'm doing, I must be doing extra work here. Where do you get the time
to watch? I'm in bed. So I had to watch it, and I swear to God, I was sobbing my heart. It's only 6.5 hours. Like.
Go on, yeah.
So sobbing my heart out. And then you'd be laughing 2 seconds later. Like that, and obviously all the shows that we've done. It would make you emotional when people are like standing up and clapping for you. And so many people are coming to see us. That's
people queuing to take photos. We take photos with everyone after every show. And people just queue to take photos. In Limerick, it was like an hour of photographs. I couldn't believe it. People were waiting around to get photos with us.
100%.
Oh, shout out to Pat Trout.
Pat Trout Enterprises,
boy. Yeah, Pat Trout from Drumkeen came to another one of our shows and he gave us a hat saying Trout Enterprises.
Oh, yeah.
So, and he had ripped his jeans, whatever the fuck he was at the gig.
My dirt of the week is, you know, if I've had a big meal, I like to get a green tea.
Yeah.
Okay? It helps aids digestion. Too many garages don't have green tea. And why not? Just get it, like.
Yeah, like sometimes when we go places, he'll just pull green tea out of his toilet pack.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you know if you're in a hotel room?
Yeah.
It's tea and coffee.
Yeah.
But it normally doesn't have any herbal teas.
Yeah.
If I'm full and it's late at night and I don't want tea.
Very few people drink green tea. I think you're...
Yeah, but they should accommodate us more.
You and the vegans.
Yeah.
Oh, no, come on, come on now.
Don't insult a man like that.
I'm no vegan.
My dirt of the week is... You know when you're watching a series on Netflix and the episode ends and then the credits roll.
Yeah.
And then the credits roll.
Yeah.
And then the foreign lads who put the voices on the German fucking version of it comes up and then...
No.
Well, it does on my fucking Netflix.
You've got an option. Mine, like, it says your next episode will play in 30 seconds. Play now or wait, watch the credits.
That doesn't happen to mine. The credits keep playing.
Look into your settings.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Mind blown here. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week.
Good luck.
It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.